We're going to pick up today at John chapter 3, verse 16. We're using a tape message from a local church in the area, and we're picking up there in the middle of John chapter 3. But first, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we count this an opportunity and a privilege to open your word. We thank you for it, and we thank you for Christ our Savior above all things. We pray that you would bless the message today upon those that hear the word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Wonderful chapter on where we were, where we can be, if we're in Christ, where we are in Christ. The comparison from Adam, the first man, to what we see in Christ. And here it speaks of love. We see in verse 6 of chapter 5, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." There we see where we come from. We were without strength. He died for us, the ungodly. Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But notice the love in verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is unconditional love. We were without strength. There was nothing of us that was lovely. But the altogether lovely one, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for us. Well, in John 3:16, it says that he gave his son, his only begotten son. Well, in John 3:16, that's the next word we'd like to look at. We've looked at the word "so." We've looked at the word "love." Let's look at the word "gave" just for a second. He gave his only begotten son. Throughout the book of John, the word "sent" is mentioned. The Father sent the Son. This indicates to us the eternal sonship, that Christ did not become the Son at incarnation, but he was the Son that was sent, the eternal one, the Creator himself. But when we see here in John 3:16, different than the rest of the times mentioned there in John, where it's God sent his Son, here it's he gave his Son. Why? I believe so because John 3:16 is speaking of the love of God. Yes, he sent his Son, but he gave, and he gave, and he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. We see the word "gave" instead of the word "sent," I believe, because it speaks of the love of God. Well, I can't help but think of the time in Genesis 22, the picture of Abraham giving his son Isaac. It was the only begotten. Turn to Hebrews, and we'll look at that for a minute. It's really encouraging to look at Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. So much in Hebrews comparing the Old and the New, comparing Christ to the things of the Old Testament, how Christ is so much better. And then at the end, after speaking of the priesthood and all these comparisons and the person of Christ, then at the end of Hebrews we see, as in much of the epistles, a great application and practical walk for us. But before that, between all the discussion of Christ and his person and his work, and before the exhortation for us, we see there in the middle of that, we see that chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. The chapter of faith. So many is mentioned in this chapter. We see the entire book of Genesis mentioned from verses 3 on to verse 22. It covers from the beginning of Genesis to chapter 50, all the way to the end. Well, look at chapter 11 of Hebrews and look at verse 17. That man Abraham mentioned very much in connection with faith. Hebrews 11:17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Notice that. his only begotten Son. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What we have there is Abraham, if you recall back in Genesis 22, was told to give up his son, to offer his son up. Of course, God, when he saw that he feared God, told Abraham to withhold and not to kill his son. But it says in Hebrews, it's wonderful how the New Testament reveals things in the Old. We see how he had counted it that the Lord could raise his son if he did have to sacrifice him. Faith. Well, I wanted to look at that section there because it said it was his only begotten son. But if you recall, Isaac was not the only son of Abraham. There was a man named Ishmael. What we say, is there a contradiction here? No. We see that only begotten can mean a title or a rank. This one, Isaac, was the only one that of those sons that the promised seed of Christ would come in. The only begotten. This is Isaac, just like in John 3:16 when it says that he is the only begotten. It's speaking of how he is in the place of rank and of position. We see there a title, if you will, of the only begotten. Because if we confuse it with the thoughts of only begotten in other places, we would think that he was created. We know better from the book of John that Christ himself was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the Word of God created, not had been created, but he created the world. So we see here that the term in John 3:16, the only begotten, is speaking of the uniqueness of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in considering that, let's move back to John 3. And we're going to look now at verse 17 and on through verse 21. Here it makes the comparison of being condemned already to not being condemned through Christ. We see that he brings to light man in our hearts. Well, in connection with the must that we looked at in 3:14, that he must be lifted up, the necessity of the cross, the necessity of his death, here we see the necessity that's tied in with the fact that there is either condemnation or life eternal. Well, when we think about this, let's just read verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, or that is, revealed, made known, that they are wrought in God. The believer will go toward the light, because when you're given light, and you continue to seek what you've been given, you'll go to that light. Well, let's contrast that with 2 Timothy. You want to turn to 2 Timothy 3. We'll see contrast there. We could say almost a parallel of what is mentioned there in verse 19 of how men love darkness rather than light. And it spoke of how that their deeds would be reproved, or that is, detected. You know what it means to detect something. We think of a smoke detector. There's smoke in the room of any amount. It's going to beep. It's going to show forth. It's been detected. Well, those that would not come to the light, their deeds would be detected, it says in John chapter 3. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, what we have here is the last days in verse 1. It speaks of perilous times shall come, the difficult, hard times, and it mentions some 19 negative things of how people will be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure rather than God, and all the other things associated with that, just like in Romans chapter 1. So then when we get down to an illustration in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 3, verse 8, it gives an Old Testament example. It names a couple of people. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Speaking of those that would be lovers of pleasure and lovers of self more than God. They withstood and resisted the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest, or that is, made evident unto all men, as theirs also was. Just as Jannes and Jambres, as they, if you recall, was the one that was like magicians, and they tried to go against Moses and withstood Moses, yet then later in the book of Exodus we see how it came back to them, and we see there that their folly was made manifest. Well, in John 3, we see that that's what is said before the cross. It says that those that would not go to the light, that their deed would be detected. We see that in John 3. Well, if you would, let's think a little bit now about the next passage that concerns with the third lust of John 3. John 3, verse 22. Here we see no longer Nicodemus, but we see John the Baptist once again. As we saw before, you must be born again. And then Christ, he had to be lifted upon the cross. The Son of Man must be lifted upon the cross. But now we see, verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Notice here, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is the attitude of John the Baptist. This is the attitude of John the Baptist. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, they testify that no man receiveth his testimony. Similar language to what Nicodemus was told. He that's of the earth is earthly. Christ said that to Nicodemus. But here, the must. This must is the necessity of Christ's position. The necessity of Christ in his rightful position, we might say. We see that he must increase. First in our life, that's the point. John the Baptist, what an illustration of that. Not only was he the must that showed us salvation, but as a believer, he is the must that we should direct all of the glory to. He must receive his rightful position.
Join us next week at 10:15 on Sunday morning with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministries.